Cow Plunge.
Fourth Grade Challenge.
Diabetes Expo.
As a key sponsor of Mustangs Baseball and Chiefs Training Camp, Heartland is the number one fan for a healthy St. Joseph.
I'm Josh Lilly, and this is Training Camp Live, presented by Heartland Health. Big day in Chiefs Training Camp. The Cards are here. Joint practice today, Mitch. NFL Network's going to be taking live look-ins today throughout practice. So if you have the NFL Network, check it out. Scott Pioli will be interviewed. Romeo Crennel will be interviewed after practice live. Matt Castle live. And really, it's your only time outside of this show, and really your only time to watch practice live as it happens on NFL Network. 3:15 p.m. is when practice begins. So if you've got the network, check it out. Of course, if you don't, check back here tomorrow. Mitch and I will break down everything we saw, plus we'll bring you exclusive footage of the best of today's joint practice with the Cardinals. But it's a big day today, Mitch, because not only is it another team, but it offers another pair of bodies to go up against.
Yeah, I mean, you get worn out. It's now been since July the 26th when the team got here. And so to have another team come in, it was interesting. I was walking up the hill with some of the guys after the walkthrough this morning, and the Cardinals were down on the other field. They were in the Spratt Stadium field. And every head turned toward the Cardinal field. It was interesting. Just kind of check it out, see what they've got. So, yeah, I think it's great to have one day like this. It takes some of the monotony out of camp. And, as you mentioned, it's a way to evaluate against somebody in a different uniform. It's just very important. Plus, I'm going to spend some time today, we'll talk about it tomorrow on Finding the 53, how you always evaluate everybody else's rosters. And both teams will be looking at each other today real closely.
Right, there's a guy that was claimed off of waivers 2 years ago from Green Bay by the name of Anthony Toribio, who's running with the ones right now at nose tackle. And you're right, I think that's the theme you're going with. It's not just about the guys in camp. And yes, there's a chance to see up close and personal 90 extra players today. So a pretty cool thing there for evaluation. Today, Ken Wisenhunt addressed the media, the Arizona Cardinals head coach. He talked about really just why the Cardinals decided to come here a little bit early and take in a practice with the Chiefs.
What's the primary focus for you guys for today's camp?
For today's practice?
For today's practice, yes.
It's an opportunity for us to do things against another team, another scheme, different players. And it's a great evaluation of your squad as well as seeing some of the players on their squad. So at the end of today's practice, what you hope is that you can go back and look at the tape and say, okay, we match up pretty good here, or, you know, we like this, we like what we're doing here. So it's a great opportunity just to get out of the drudgery of camp as far as going against your guys every day.
What's different after playing that first preseason game?
Meaning what?
In how you practice, how you go about, you know, your daily business.
We have a routine that we practice, and we expect that no matter what. I mean, the first game doesn't mean anything other than we've just gotten a little bit of a sample of live action to evaluate our players.
How much conversation or direction do you have to have with Romeo as far as how the practice is structured?
We've talked quite a few times, but I don't think there's any problems with how we're structuring the practice or how we're going to do it together. I mean, you never know what the intensity is going to be like, but that's something that you just don't anticipate any problems with.
So do teams do very similar things, or do you have to, like, trade off this time we're going to do an Arizona-type drill, or the next time we're going to do a Kansas City-type thing, or do you do similar things?
I think everybody has a certain amount of drills that are similar. I mean, everybody does 7-on-7, everybody does 9-on-7, everybody does team. So those are the things. There's drills that we do that we wouldn't do against Kansas City that we do specifically for us, but there's enough things that you do in common that you just run your drills. I mean, we're going to do 9-on-7, we're going to do 1-on-1s, we're going to do 7-on-7, and we're going to do some team drills as well as some two-minute stuff. And, you know, that was pretty easy. It's pretty easy to set that up and say, can we do this? It's just the numbers and the rotations and how you're going to do that, trying to match guys up against people. But that's the fun part.
Was it the timing, the lack of travel? Why was this doable this week?
Well, first of all, it was doable because of Coach Crennel and Scott Pioli, I think. And Missouri Western College has been absolutely fantastic in working with us. I can't say enough about let me make sure I say that correctly, Missouri Western State University, because of just providing us with the facilities to do this. It was great benefit to us to not have to go all the way back to Arizona. And we've got a two-hour plus drive to our training camp. So to fly back into Phoenix, to drive 2 hours to camp, to be there for a couple of days, and then turn around and fly back here, saves a lot of wear on our guys' bodies. We get extra time with them for treatment for the guys that are needing it. We get extra time to have a walkthrough, which is so important. So it's a great benefit to us, and it's really a bonus, like I said, to be able to practice against another team and just where you get to evaluate matchups.
What do you expect to get from Cobb this week?
And you mean what? You mean practice?
Practice. I mean, he obviously went out the other night. I mean, what do you? Is he a full go at this point?
We'll see. I mean, he went through the walkthrough this morning. He's still a little sore, but I don't anticipate there being any problems as we progress through the week. He may be limited this afternoon, but I certainly think that as the week progresses, he'll be fine and he'll play.
Coach, having seen live action already for you guys, does that help you in preparing your practice, knowing a little bit more maybe what you want to see today, having already seen some action?
It gives us some things that we can correct and work on with our team. I mean, one of the things that was obvious from our first game was that we were very poor tackling. We're not going to do live tackling in this today, but what you can really work on is the technique, getting yourself in the right position and make sure that you have a knee bend and you put your hands on the right way. So those are things that you can correct, as well as some of the other mistakes that we made communication-wise. So, it's a great tool.
Romeo Crennel said that there's maybe a perception that because the Chiefs haven't had a lot of scuffles up here in camp, that it can be looked upon by some as being somewhat negative in camp. He didn't see it that way. Do you have to fight that perception as well, that if guys aren't fighting at each other, it's not productive camp?
I haven't really thought about that. I've been on some teams that have been very good, that won Super Bowls, that never had a fight in camp. I've been on teams that weren't very good, that had a lot of fights. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know which way. You know, I've been on good teams that have had fights. I think it depends on where you are as a team and what you're doing. So these guys, NFL players, are highly competitive animals, highly competitive creatures. And you never know what it takes to set them off. I mean, our guys work hard. I know the Chiefs work hard. Your expectation is that we'll have a good practice.
It's a good thing the Cardinals are here. Now, the second part of it, Mitch, is when everyone assumes will happen when two teams get together. And then we've experienced some in the history of the Chiefs, some not so good ones and just some little scrums. I'm talking about the training camp fights when two teams get together and it's the middle of camp and it's hot and they're sick of hitting the same guys. And most people assume a fight will happen. If you look at yesterday's practice, we both agree, Mitch, the most physical of camp to date. Now, they're not tackling yet, but there were some tackles yesterday. There were a lot of guys on the ground. Things seem to go up a notch. So you do wonder, is there going to be a little scrappiness involved in today's scrimmage?
Well, is it scrappiness or is it fighting? Scrappiness is okay. Fighting becomes ridiculous. People remember the whole Saints and Chiefs fiasco. That was two head coaches who lost control of their teams. That was Gunter Cunningham and Mike Ditka. These two coaches have control of these teams. I really like Ken Wisenhut, and you can see why in those comments. I think he's an outstanding coach, and, of course, we love Romeo. But I think another factor is you're not going two-a-days in pads. Okay, that starts to wear on you. Now, we've been here over a week or almost, I don't know how many days we've been here. I lose track. But when you're going twice a day, and many of those twice a day in pads, you start to get a little edgy. So I think the new setup probably helps it. And I think these two coaches having control over it. Now, that doesn't mean something's not going to break out a little bit today, but it won't be crazy fighting like we've seen in the past.
Well, and you're right. Scrappiness is all right. I think everyone would like to see a little bit of a scrum, some pushing and shoving. When you go into a full-on fight mode, though, Mitch, it's a different story. You remember there was a player in the Dick Vermeil era that got his knee torn up when he was winning the fight. I don't remember who the player was.
That was a wide receiver guy from Philadelphia. I can't remember. But some rookie from Minnesota that was kind of full of spit and vinegar took him down and tore his knee up. I'll think of it in a second. But
Maybe our chat room can help us out as we
Damian
recall.
Douglas, but
that's the point. When you start
he was
fighting,
done. He never played again.
Right. When you start fighting, things like that happen. When you're pushing and shoving, I think people expect those types of things to happen. And judging off yesterday's practice, I'd assume something like that would happen today. There is definitely a line drawn. And Romeo Crennel actually addressed that topic with his team prior to going into today's practice.
Well, I told him that we don't want fights, first of all, because generally when fights occur, some negative things can occur, you know. The other thing is that it takes a little discipline sometimes to avoid fights, and we want to be a disciplined team, and I expect them to display that discipline.
Are you surprised you haven't seen that scuffle yet in practice, and is that a good thing that you have?
Well, some people would say it's a bad thing, but I think our guys are professional. You know, they know that they're going against their teammates, and I've told them that we don't need to hurt the teammate, you know. And now we're going against a different team, and I've told them we don't need to hurt those guys either, you know. So, but, you know, their adrenaline is going to be flowing. It's going to be elevated a little bit. But they are pro players, and they're being asked to perform as pro players. And when you look at the rule changes around the league, you know, they've gone from delivering killer shots to lowering their target and, you know, all of those kind of things. So they have to be able to adjust and adapt and be able to do that. So that's what I expect of them.
It's known, Mitch, the Chiefs haven't had any real scuffles in camp thus far, and I think it is what you alluded to. You don't have double the practices, so they've been hitting each other for a week and a half, but it's not at the pace that they have in previous years, especially for these NFL veterans. Of course, Romeo Crennel hasn't backed off. They've been a full week in full pads every single day since Sunday the 30th. Let's see, they opened on the 26th. The Sunday the 30th, they've been full padded practice every single day they've had to practice. So Romeo has gone as old school as he can. He's kept the tempo high. There's been thudding. There's just been no live tackling, but there also haven't been any fights break loose in camp. And Ken Wisden had addressed the topic as well and kind of brought us inside what's going on with the Cardinals and what he told his players about getting scrappy in today's practice.
Chippiness that comes along with practicing against a different team?
We've done it before, and I haven't seen that. I don't. If it happens, it happens. I mean, that's part of football. But I have a lot of respect for this team, for Scott Pioli, for Romeo Crennel, and how they do things. And I don't anticipate it'll be a problem. And if it is, that happens in training camp. But I don't think our guys are going to be into that.
And now we're not condoning fighting here, Mitch. But Brady Quinn played along with the game yesterday after practice, and he had a lot of fun with it. He basically alluded to when you get two teams together, just as we talked about, most people believe that there'll be a skirmish of some sort. So the media asked Brady to handicap who he thought would be the most likely candidate. He selected Ryan Lilja because we all know it starts on the offensive line in some way, shape, or form. Every fight does. He said Ryan was, quote, an older, surly type of guy, basically a veteran who's been in many camps.
And he's the honey badger.
And he's the honey badger. He don't care. So Brady Quinn's pick of camp, the most likely to fight in this scrimmage / joint practice would be Ryan Lilja. I'll give you mine. If I have to handicap one, I look just to the right. I guess, well, not the right anymore. You'd be a few minute players to the right. But right tackle Eric Winston. He's basically the same reason Quinn chose Ryan Lilja. Winston's an older guy. He's been very outspoken about the need for camp. He's kind of in that Tony Gonzalez camp of I'm not so sure we need camp, but I'm really happy they've toned it back. / I'm going to go hard, but at the same time, I'm kind of annoyed it's so hot out here. So I could see him being a guy that gets a little angry with an overzealous player. I'm interested who your pick might be if you had to handicap someone.
Well, first of all, I think you're wise in picking Winston, because if he gets tossed out of practice, he won't have to run gassers at the end. That's the way he would think. Because if they have to run gassers like yesterday, man, he hates that worse than anything. Who likes gassers? I'm going to give you a surprise pick because the chippiness yesterday, whatever little bit of chippiness there was, came from mild-mannered Wheaton College Andy Studebaker.
He was going
to He started to try to mix it up just a little bit, and he's got that bushy hairdo. I'm just thinking it might be one of you, the guy you'd least expect. I'm going to go with Studebaker.
That's interesting because the biggest fight we've had in St. Joseph on a field scrum came, it was either last year, I believe it might have been the year before, it was probably 2010, and involved Andy Studebaker, and basically he came hot off a stun off the edge and laid out Jamal Charles, and they were in a shells drill, and it wasn't a dirty play by any means. He just hit Jamal and it looked bad. Well, Thomas Jones was right there and goes and peels from like the behind Studebaker, peels him off the pile and kind of throws him to side, and it started a whole big scrap between the O and D. So actually, that's a good sleeper pick in Andy since he was involved in the last one.
You mentioned Thomas Jones. He's no longer on the roster, but if he was here,
that's who you would
former go. Cardinal. Okay, and this is all about defending your neighborhood. There is kind of that feeling. I got that when walking up the hill today, right, with the guys, because they all turn. It's like I gotta defend the neighborhood today. My pick would have been myself. If Dave Pasch, the Arizona Cardinals play-by-play guy, would have come here, I would have just got it on with him, because I'm kind of surly and been here a week and a half. But he's not here because Dave's a diva. And so he will just show up for the game on Friday night and fly in from his little airplane in from Phoenix. So I may just see it after him then.
Yeah, they're hot picks. In the media member most likely to scrap Adam Teicher, beat writer of the Star, getting a little surly here in camp. That's what the media voted for him. And in PR, Tyler Kuntz, his pick for player was an interesting one. He picked Justin Houston. He said would cause a skirmish because Houston's always going a million miles an hour off the edge. So he always likes to give a little pop. A Cardinals player may not like getting beat around the edge, so he said Justin Houston be his. We'll give you all the details on that tomorrow if there is a little skirmish that breaks loose. Again, skirmishes are okay, Mitch. We just don't want to see the fighting take place.
And honestly, let's just think about it. Coaches hate the fighting. First of all, if you do it in a game, it's a 15-yard penalty. It's a problem, and it could be a suspension. So why do it now if you're not going to do it then? But if I had to handicap someone with the Cardinals, it might be Russ Hochstein, like a 12-year veteran of the University of Nebraska from Hardington, Nebraska. He's not as bad as Richie Incognito of the Husker fan.
That would be the B-Rad pick.
So, but I'm just going to go ahead and throw a Husker out there because of B-Rad.
Richie Incognito would go to like fraternity parties and fight fraternity guys. I've heard stories of this guy. Anyway, we'll move on from the skirmish. We spent too much time. We'll talk about something everyone in the chat room, at least say everyone on Twitter and a few people in the chat room want to talk about this piece of paper right here. That's the Chiefs. It's a little focus. Get down here.
I'm wide on white.
The depth chart. Chiefs, there it is. Chiefs depth chart. I'll ask you the first question. Is it even worth the paper that the ink's printed on? Is it worth even doing this, in your opinion?
You can do a lot of things with this. If it had a little kind of put like a cologne swab on there, or
you might have more use for this.
I had a cold last week, you know. I wouldn't get too bent out of shape about this. We watch practice every day.
Right.
The depth chart is a moving target.
It is.
And the NFL requires Romeo Crennel to have this depth chart. That's why you have it. But if you put any stock in this, it's like buying some hedge fund on a swamp in...
This depth chart is a little bit more accurate than the ones that Todd Haley would put out. Sometimes I think he just do it on purpose and put the guys in different positions just to jack with people because of the process. And the one thing that sticks out to me on this, and a lot of people have asked me, and which kind of shows why I hold very little weight in a depth chart right now, Alan Bailey lists as the third team left defensive end. When you see that Alan Bailey is listed there, and you just go by this piece of paper, you think, okay, Alan Bailey's not had a good camp. They were expecting big things out of this guy, and he's listed third team. Well, he is running with the threes in the base because they want to give looks to Rapati Petoitua. They want to give looks to Mon Gordon. Alan Bailey is going to be a huge part of this defense. He's run all camp with the ones in the sub-package group. He's not a base-type player. They're going to see if he can be. He has a role cut out on this team. It's going to be a big role. He's going to factor into this team highly in his defense in 2012. But if you just go by this piece of paper, you say, oh my gosh, well, what's wrong with Alan Bailey? He's listed third. I think that's just one snapshot of why this piece of paper doesn't mean a
lot. If Atlanta opens up in three wide receivers or four wide receivers in the first game, he'll be on the field.
He'll be a starter.
He's going to start the game. So
he could start on Friday.
Yeah, he could, depending on what Arizona does with their formation. So
and the same
to me, the surprise is Rapati Piotua is up where he is, quite honestly, because there would be a battle there. I do see them keeping probably six defensive linemen. We know who the three starters are in the base, but they don't spend all that much time in the base. I mean, if I had to guess of the time, a week and a half here in camp, I would say it's been 50-50 where they've been out of the base defense. But the other three guys, there's a battle there. Brandon Bear comes into discussion here. You mentioned Amon Gordon, Gerald Poe. But to have Rapati Piotua up there, to me, is a little bit of a surprise. And if he plays well in the preseason, he's got experience. He's been with the Jets for 4 years. He's had sacks against New England. I mean, the guy's played on the field in some big games. So, sure, but he's in the mix with all these other guys. I'd list them all the same, quite honestly.
And you mentioned the sub-package defense. Technically, Dontari Poe could be a week one starter preseason. Yeah. If they open the sub-package, he'll be a starter on the field. Him and Alan Baylor in the ones. If they open in base, it will be Anthony Toribio.
And it could be the second snap. So Toribio plays the first, and whoops, the other team shows a three-wide one back. Whoop, here comes Poe, and here comes Alan Bailey.
Yeah, it's interesting, and a lot of it, especially with, like, Pitoy Tua, it's interesting because Romeo even talked, and we'll get to his soundbite in a second, of sometimes he just wants to see what a guy as in the second team looks like. If Rapata's going to make this team, he needs to be the Sean Smith of 2010. He needs to be that base defender where if something happened to Dorsey or Jackson, he can go in and play the base, play the run, just like Sean Smith did in 2010 when Jackson went out in the season opener. So that may be one of the reasons he is listed ahead of Alan Bailey on this depth, because
sure. We
want to see him in those base snaps. That would be his role on this football team if he's able to make it. Same with Amon Gordon. He's going to be working in that role and kind of be the guy you would slot throughout the line. So it is interesting topic of conversation, this depth chart, but I don't think it means a whole lot. And earlier today, Romeo Crennel, as you would expect, said about as much about this depth chart.
And then the only other thing that you might have an issue with or questions about is the depth chart for the game Friday night. I didn't even want to put a depth chart out, but they told me I had to. And so I don't think you can write a whole lot into the depth chart because we're still evaluating and looking at players. And what the depth chart is this week, chances are it'll be different next week. You know, you can't look at everybody at the same time, so you have to have an order that you look at them, and that's the order that it came out for this week.
There is one interesting thing about this depth chart, Mitch, and it happened this morning. Brandon Flowers was going through the walkthrough. It looks like he's going to test his foot today. He may be back for this practice. He may not. It's day-to-day with Flowers. He's going to be fine. So he was out with the ones. And in his absence, you've had Daniels there, you've had Jaleel Brown there. What was interesting in the walkthrough today was in Stanford Route on the opposite side of Flowers, worked with the twos, and you had Jaleel Brown in with the ones. Now, Romeo said after practice today that Route is their one. This had no effect on a demotion of Stanford Route. But what's interesting is he wanted to see what Jaleel looked like on the opposite side. And Jaleel's an interesting player. He's had a good offseason. We've seen him open camp as kind of that joker role that John McGraw played a lot last year. We've seen him on the left corner side with the ones, splitting time with Daniels while Flowers has been out. We saw him walking through a right cornerback today with Route taking a step aside. And Romeo said he wants to see this guy. This is an interesting player to me, Mitch, because they obviously want to get him on the field some way, somehow this year. As a sub-package guy, as a reserve player, and we've seen him at both corners now. We've seen him at a safety-type role. Very intriguing to me what they're doing with Jaleel Brown this offseason and this training camp.
I think he's one of the big stories of this camp and one to watch today against the Cardinals, Josh, but also as the preseason moves on. The backup quarterbacks, everybody's going to watch. We talked about that. But I've actually featured Jaleel a lot of my radio stuff today because he's flying under the radar of Chiefs fans. There's a lot on his plate right now, a lot. And I think the team wants to see just what do they have in that guy. If he has, you mentioned the joker role. That was the John McGraw role, as you said. You have to be big.
And let's stop and kind of define that for people. The joker role is kind of that
a nickelback.
That nickelback, but it's almost like a linebacker level. It's a sub-package defense. Yeah. Derek Johnson's right there. You're a D-back, but you're at linebacker level. A lot of tight end covering.
But let's talk about that role, because in that role, you have to have – you've got to be strong enough to play close to the line of scrimmage against the run, which means you're going to be in the wash a lot, even with a spread-out offense. Two, you've got to have the ability to cover people. You've got to cover slot receivers. You're going to have to cover backs coming out of the backfield. Many times with Jaleel, they want to see if he can cover on the outside against an elite receiver today like Larry Fitzgerald or the good receivers, Early Doucette, and some of the other guys that Arizona's got. There's a lot right now on Jaleel's plate. He knows it. He's a very smart kid. But he just watch number 30 over the next month. This is a real important month for Jaleel, for the Chiefs to see what they can do. Because if not, then they're going to move some other people around. It starts to shift like a Rubik's Cube. And two, it's big for Jaleel to prove he can handle this role in the NFL, because if he can, he'll be like a Travis Daniels and become very valuable to this team.
You're right, it's proving ground for Jaleel. The Chiefs like him, but they want to see if he can handle it. They want him to prove it. The ball is in Jaleel Brown's court. He talked yesterday about everything that's been going on for him at camp with these multiple positions and what he's looking forward to doing.
Yeah, the coaches came to me and said they want to throw me in a little bit and put me in at the cornerback position with Brandon Flowers going down, and basically that's what I'm trying to do, you know, working out there as hard as I can. Wherever the coaches tell me to go, I'm trying to step up and make plays.
Talk about rookie year to this year. I mean, you look more, you just look bigger, you look more confident. Just kind of talk about your mindset this year.
Definitely all of the above, because, I mean, last year I didn't realize at the time, but without having OTAs and mini camps, that definitely set me back a ton. I mean, I never experienced before, so I didn't realize how much I was at a disadvantage. But this year, getting through OTAs and mini camps and then going into training camp, a little hit, it definitely put me, I was like night and day, you know, going into training camp this year compared to last.
And another guy that helps make Jaleel more flexible, our man in the chat room here, Mark JLo07, or Mark JL07, well, however you go by it, Mark.
I like JLo better.
A little JLo. I'd like to, Josh. Yeah. JLo.
No.
Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah, thank you.
That JLo.
Yeah.
Oh, different JLo.
Yeah. I've been at camp a week and a half.
He said, could you guys talk about Abram Elam? Mitch, I stand by what I've said this offseason. Abram Elam may be the most underrated and important signing of the offseason for the Chiefs. You talk about Hillis, you talk about Boss, talk about Rout, Quinn, Winston, all these guys get the headlines, and rightly so. After those guys, the guy who's just as important to me was the signing of Abram Elam. 16-game starter for the Cowboys last year. How many safeties did the Chiefs run through as starters, Mitch? Six last season. Six different players started at safety for the Chiefs. Romeo Crennel uses a lot of three safety looks, multiple defensive back looks. It was an issue when Eric Berry went out. John McGraw, I love John McGraw in the third safety role. When John McGraw has to go and become a starter and play 60, 70 snaps a game, that's when corners can expose him. He's not he's older. He wasn't the most athletic guy at the end. He was a reliable player, though, and a great third safety, I think. They've upgraded that spot with Abram Elam, but they also have a guy where if Barry's knee swells up and he needs to take a week off this year, or if Kendrick Lewis, who had the pectoral surgery and the shoulder surgery, has to take a game off, they have a guy who can step up from that third role and become a starter in this defense, and the Chiefs don't skip a beat with one of their starters on that back line.
I would agree. Now, just imagine Romeo Crennel, his iPad full of icons. In fact, he's just got pages and pages of icons. That's the way he likes to coach defense. During this camp, Josh, I've lost track of how many combinations of defenses we have seen. And to do that, you have to have guys that can do a multiplicity of things. We've mentioned that as a theme of this team. But in the case of Abram Elam, it allows him the freedom to use Eric Berry in different roles. It allows Jaleel freedom to use Jaleel Brown in different roles, or Javier Arenas that we just saw. He brings a veteran presence. He's been around winning football. And he does bring a skill set that gives him a chance to maybe play strong, play free, play in that three safety look, special teams. Right now he's a number one on several different special teams units. So, yes, this is another signing that's kind of slipped under the covers.
Yeah, I'm interested to watch this preseason game to see what they do with Eric Berry. You mentioned flexibility. We know from his college tape he's a guy who can play in the box and run. He's a guy who can man on the outside. He's a guy who can stunt. And as Ibrahim's emergence, do we see Eric Berry do more? That's something to watch in these preseason games. And I think that's an interesting aspect, too. If you free up Eric Berry a little bit more than just have him stay on that back line, that makes this defense that much better. And Abram Elam may be able to do that, and that's something that we'll have to wait to see how Romeo approaches it once the games come. But I would key 29 this preseason, Mitch, and see where he lines up on every snap, because Romeo could definitely get creative with that player.
The biggest thing I've seen from Eric, of course, it looks like he wasn't even injured. That's the good thing. Yep. Two, I've seen his coverage skills improve. He's been pretty good at covering the pass in this, whether it's one-on-ones or this is one of his best plays, when he was one-on-one against Baldwin and was with him step-for-step on a nine route. That's a safety making a corner play. That's a heck of a play. You can't do it any better than that. But then his explosiveness, and we think of his explosiveness only in interception returns against Tennessee or to win the game against Buffalo or help win the game. But when you're mentioned, he can move around. He can be explosive in stopping the run, explosive in attacking the quarterback, explosive in covering backs out of the backfield. That means he can create a turnover or an explosive positive defensive play, maybe a defensive score. And if he's moving around, man, that's a problem for opposing teams.
Tell you what, we're already out of time. We got to get down to practice. It's going to start soon. We've already gone over time. We've got some great questions. Justin Dean wants to know about the battle for third string running back. Another topic, another day. Sean Jones having a good camp. Cyrus Gray, I like it. Ooh. Maybe we take another topic on that one in the future. Tomorrow you can tune in if you don't get the NFL Network, or if you do, we'll have all of the best highlights in action from the joint practice between the Chiefs and Cardinals, as well as player reaction from that practice. If you can and you have NFL Network and you're free this afternoon about 3:15 p.m., check it out. You can see live shots. They'll be feeding in live to that practice. Watch practice as it happens from right here in St. Joe. We'll see you tomorrow, 2 to 2:30 p.m. on KCChiefs.com.
Cow Plunge.
Fourth Grade Challenge.
Diabetes Expo.
As a key sponsor of Mustangs Baseball and Chiefs Training Camp, Heartland is the number one fan for a healthy St. Joseph.